You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say God loved the world. It says for God so loved the world. And that little word S-O is very, very important. You know how it is to be so mad, so aggravated, so upset, or how about so beautiful, or so delicious? Or how about the child that's gotten so tall? We have one of those in our family. So tall. And anytime you use the word S-O, you're magnifying, enlarging the word that it's attached to. So love. So love is love that would make a sacrifice. You know, natural human love only goes so far. And then you're on your own. I'm through with you. I tried. You know, we quick to back ourselves out of a dilemma. God so loved the world. Now, mercy is the action of love. Mercy is a part of love. It's what love does. Mercy means love in action. When we go, there are two scriptural proofs. One is the story of the Good Samaritan, which is in Luke chapter 10. I just want to prove it to you. God so loved. That's love that is broad and wide and high and deep. So love. We think in three dimensions. The scripture thinks in four. Isn't that interesting? And so love is that four-dimensional love. And when love takes action, that's called mercy. Now, in Luke chapter 10, let me prove this to you. The lawyer, in verse 25, came to tempt Jesus. Master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? You should know, as a lawyer, he was a student of the word. He knew the answer to this. This is a trick. This is not an honest question. When you come to tempt somebody, you're trying to trip them up. How many knows you can't trip Jesus up? Yeah. Now, he said to him, Jesus said, well, what's written? And he knew the answer. We knew he would. It's in verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, well, who's my neighbor? Now the question, it says willing to justify himself. The question, now in other words, he wanted to make himself look glorious and the Lord look in need of explanation. He said, who's my neighbor? We're talking about loving the neighbor. Loving the neighbor. And he said, who's my neighbor? It's not that he would love him if he knew who it was. This is all in the realm of deception. So Jesus gives the story of the Good Samaritan. And you remember the man was beaten, left by the roadside. And the priest came by, didn't stop. And the Levite came by and didn't stop. But the Samaritan came by and saw that the man is going to die. He bound up his wounds. He put him on his donkey and carried him to an inn and paid the bill for his care so he could stay there. While this man went on about his business, but he said, I'll be back by. If he needs anything more than I've left money for, you pay for that and I'll pay you back. And then he asked, this is all in answer to, I'm going to love my neighbor. Love my neighbor. That's the question. And this is all in answer. And so he said to the lawyer, who's his neighbor? He said, well, the one that showed mercy. The one that showed mercy, because mercy is in direct relationship to love. It's an outgrowth of love. It's love in action. Now, there's a difference in sympathy and mercy or compassion. In the scripture, if it says mercy, it'll say compassion. If it says compassion, it says mercy. If you go to Strong's Dictionary and you look up compassion, it'll say mercy. If you look up mercy, it'll say compassion, because it's all one entity, mercy. And compassion is the same thing, and we'll use it that way. And we know it's that way. See, I like to prove things by the scripture. And when the blind man came to Jesus and said, have mercy, then it says Jesus asked him, what do you need? And they said, we receive our sight. And so it said he had compassion. Well, compassion is what they didn't ask for. They asked for mercy. But you see, it's the same thing. I want you to equivalize those words, mercy and compassion. Now, he said, who's my neighbor? He said, the one that had mercy, the one that took action, the one that did something about the dilemma. That was the one that had mercy, that had love. Love gives birth to mercy. Mercy is an outgrowth of love. Now look at a very powerful scripture in 1 John. Chapter 3. Here's another proof positive. I want you to see the connection in love and mercy. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Okay, when you perceive something, you know, understand, you see it clearly. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? What a powerful question. He said, in other words, you have enough to help somebody, but you don't help them. You have this world's good. You have enough to help them. You don't help them. It says you shut up your compassion. You're not compassionate. You don't reach out to them. That means you're not merciful. It said, how dwell the love of God in you? See, if the love of God is in you and you function in that love, then you're compassionate. Then you're willing to help people. You're willing to do something. Love is always merciful, and merciful is the action that love takes. Now look at the 145th Psalm. You got that, right? Mm-hmm. 145th Psalm says, verse 8, the Lord is gracious. When somebody is gracious, they're looking for an opportunity to be helpful. It's not that I'm a multimillionaire and you come to me and said, can you write me a $5,000 check? And I'd say, sure. It wasn't that I was looking for you to come or that I knew you were coming. It's just that I am a nice person. But when somebody's gracious, they're looking everywhere in case somebody needs something. Now, my grandmother was very gracious. She was very, very tiny in her latter years, 60, 70 pounds. I think she wore a size 4 shoe. And I was over one day, and she wanted me to take home her new bedroom slippers that somebody had given her. And I said, well, no, Granny, I can't wear those. Those are not my size. And she said, oh, but you have to take those. See, she's so gracious. And gracious people, they have to do something, and they're watching all the time. What can I do? How can I help you? They're not reluctant. They're on the move. They're aggressive. And I had to really almost fight with her. I'm not taking home a size 4 shoe for my size 7 foot. And I wouldn't take them home if they'd been the same size, because they were given to her. So the Lord is gracious. Now, if you go to 2nd Chronicles 16:1, it gives us some insight on the Lord being gracious. See, he's looking for an opportunity to be merciful to you. He's looking for an opportunity to help you. He's not reluctant. He's watching. And that's what this verse says, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth. His eyes are constantly watching, going to and fro. Constantly watching. What can I do? Who can I help? What would you need? To show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He wants to put his strength into your life. He wants to solve your dilemma with his mercy and with his strength. And his eyes are watching, constantly watching. You know, if you're, Ashley was at our house a lot, because Suzanne's always worked for me the last 20 years. And when she was little, she was at our house a lot. And we watched her because we have property and canals and water, and Suzanne's working, and I'd sit on the porch and I'm watching. My eyes are going to and fro. I want to make sure that she's safe. She would come and ask. She wanted to go play with the boy next door, who we did not know. He was new there. And there's a canal between us, and you can't really get there. And we couldn't let her, her mother couldn't let her do that because it wasn't safe. But I'm watching. See, and God's watching. He said, his eyes are watching you. What do you need? He's watching you, not to say, you did what? See, the church has promoted the justice of God and made God look mean and unredeeming. When God has said, I'm watching in case you need something, in case I can help you. I'm watching. Well, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, the 145th Psalm, slow to anger, of great mercy. Slow to anger, you get that part? The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Here's the characteristics of mercy. Mercy is available to everyone. It's always available. It's available to the saint. It's available to the sinner. Mercy is available. And God's watching to be gracious to you, to pour forth mercy into your life to meet your need. Now, if you went to my grandmother's after breakfast, you got to eat the leftover biscuits, which was quite a treat, actually. She always had a plan. She would not let you leave without putting something in your hand because she's gracious. So one day a lady came and she's asked me, what was I doing, so forth. And I had responsibility for my father. And I say, well, one day I'm going to check on certain businesses, and but I have to have a sitter, and I'm not able to do it right now. And so 2 or 3 days later, she'd gone to every one of those businesses and brought me a brochure. Because she's gracious, because she wants to help. She's looking for an opportunity to be of service. How can I help you? What can I do for you? Most of us feel inconvenienced. You want me to do what? You think, how long is that going to take? Because you're not gracious, which means you're not very merciful, which means you weren't looking for an opportunity to be helpful, which means you were wrong. That's the bottom line. Everybody's been there, including me. Now it says, his tender mercies are over all his works. Over all his works. Now, if we look at the 86th Psalm, there's more in the scripture on mercy than you could imagine. The 86th Psalm, verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive. Plenty of mercy. That means he has abundant mercy. He has plenty of mercy. He's never going to short out in mercy. Never going to have to say to you, you know, if you'd come yesterday. Plenty of mercy. Now look down, verse 13. Great is the mercy toward me. God's not a cheapskate. He's not chintzy. He has enough for you. And you know his mercy never decreases? Well, I'll prove that to you in a little bit. It has delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Now God's mercy is for the saint and the sinner. His mercy is for everybody. There's nobody that's not qualified for mercy. If you bring yourself to the court of heaven and bow, mercy belongs to you. And he was watching to and fro. You know what he's watching for? He's watching for you to come. He was watching for you to bring your need. Whether it's salvation, freedom from sin, whether it's freedom from disease, whether it's some form of prosperity, whether it's a relationship problem, God's watching. And the minute you come, his mercy is for the saint and the sinner. It's for everybody. And it's abundant. Now look at the 103rd Psalm. 103rd, that's what I want. Hallelujah. Y'all act like you're asleep. You're awake, right? Everybody's awake? 103rd Psalm, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. My grandmother, I believe it was, used to say, oh, goodness gracious. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but I know it can be said of God. Goodness, goodness, he's gracious. Slow to anger, plenty of mercy. You ever had plenty to eat? Did you do that Easter? Yeah. Plenty of mercy. Never going to run short of mercy. Now look down at verse 11. As high as the heaven is high, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. We already found out his mercy to those headed for the lowest hell. Now he says his mercy for those that fear him, those that reverence him, those that walk with him. In other words, nobody's excluded from mercy, and he's full of mercy. He has plenty of mercy. He's abundant in mercy. Mercy has height and depth and length and breadth. The 119th Psalm says the whole earth is full of his mercy. When you watch the news, and don't watch it too long, its pollution level is high. But when you watch the news, even if you watch those broadcasters that you think are telling the truth, you know who they are? Well, you probably don't. You have to remember that in the Gaza Strip, there's plenty of mercy. That in Palestine, there's plenty of mercy. In Turkey, there's plenty of mercy. On the Isle of Tawan today, which was hit by a major earthquake, there's plenty of mercy. Everywhere the hand of God has created, there's mercy. And sometimes we're more judgmental than merciful. We're not going to do that anymore, you and I. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenty of mercy. Verse 8, the mercy is high as the heaven. Well, you go out, but don't look right into the sun and think about that much mercy. Just go up to far as you can see. And mercy is higher than that, greater than that. Why mercy? Because mercy is what love does. If love rescues and delivers and sets free, it does so because of its mercy and compassion. Now, if you look down at verse 13, the word is pitieth, which is our same concept, mercy. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. There's mercy for the Christian. There's mercy for those that reverence him. There's mercy for those that walk with him. There's mercy for those headed for hell. Plenty of mercy. And then you go down to verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. For them that fear him, his righteousness unto children shall. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, it's unending. Now look at Lamentations. You know where Lamentations is? Hallelujah. It's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, which is a verse that's often sung. Verse 22. You there? It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. You know why you're not toast? Because the Lord's merciful. Consumed. In other words, destroyed, punished, judged. That day comes. But today is a day of mercy for all who will receive. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion fails not. Compassion doesn't ever fail. And then it says, it's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Compassion, mercy is new every morning. It means it never is lesser quantity than it was yesterday. If God had 100% mercy on Monday, he has 100% mercy on Tuesday. And it doesn't matter how much of it he had to use between Monday and Tuesday. He's still 100%er. Now, if you look at verse, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion. The reason you're not consumed or judged is because God's always compassionate. He always reaches out to you in compassion. He always wants you to come to him and receive his mercy. And first is the mercy of forgiveness. And there's the mercy of healing. Now look at Micah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Did you go to church like I did all my life and learn the books of the Bible? Huh? Am I the only one knows the books of the Bible? This is a marvelous concept. Love works in mercy, and mercy is God's concept. It's his idea. It's what he does to rescue, deliver, and set free. It's not judgment. It's mercy. It says that's love of the Lord. Lamentations, it's the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Verse 18, the final chapter, 7. Who is like a God unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever. Doesn't say doesn't get angry. It says not ever forever. Anger's not forever. It's not forever. Well, what is forever? 106 Psalm, 107 Psalm. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And because we have mercy, we're not consumed, we're not judged. We can come in repentance and be received, no matter what we've done. I was always intrigued by the pastor in Texas who was doing a fine job. That was years ago. I assume he's still there. He was in prison for murder, which he committed. For his mercy endureth forever for the Lord. So they let him out because he was high on drugs, and the theory was he didn't know he was killing him. And they all believed that. And if you don't think that sounds like mercy, it sounds like mercy to me. Now it says, he retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Let me read you the Message Bible. He delights in mercy. The Message Bible says, mercy is your specialty. It's what you love the most. He'd rather be merciful. And his anger is never forever, but his mercy is always forever. Do you get that? And his mercy endureth forever. And mercy always is in abundant supply. It's eternal. It never dissipates, disappears, ceases to exist. And it's for all men, all women. That's amazing, isn't it? Now let me prove it to you again. Well, look at verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from days of old. He will. He will be compassionate. He will. He will. I don't know how many mothers have said to some little kid, "Do you want God to?" And then they hang something over their head that God wouldn't even do. You heard that right. You didn't do that. You just heard it somewhere. Look at James. "And his mercy endureth forever." Anger is temporary. Mercy is permanent and eternal and enduring. Hebrews, James. Some chapter in James. I will find it. Chapter 2, verse 13. "He shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy." That's talking about us. Remember Jesus' words in Beatitude, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." In other words, you weren't merciful, you're not a candidate for mercy, actually. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. "He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." Mercy rejoices against judgment. That word "rejoices" is to triumph. It's to win. Mercy exalts itself against judgment. Which is the stronger force, mercy or judgment? Mercy. And that's what Micah said. He said he delights in mercy. He'd rather be merciful. He says his mercy is forever. Judgment is temporary. That's amazing, isn't it? Now look at, let me see if it's Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. I was overseas in the early days, 79, and they were amazed at my sharp memory. And finally a lady came, she says, "I don't know how you remember all those and you know right where the scripture is," and she just went on and on. She lauded me, so she put me on a platform so high, if I'd fallen off, I'd have broke my neck. And I said, "No, ma'am, you see this Bible? It's written on everywhere. And I put in the margin where I'm going. I don't do that so much today as I used to." John 3:16 would say, "Turn to Romans 5:8. And I had "turn to" and references all over my Bible. And I ruin a Bible short in order, have to get another one. But look at verse 9. "Know therefore." So what is you supposed to know this? Got that? Know this? You know this? I don't know how many times I've been asked a question I don't know. I just really don't know. One lady called, she wanted to know how to make a boiled frosting. She said, "It says sugar. What kind of sugar is that?" And I thought, I haven't done that in years. Mother used to do that. I know I got a recipe somewhere. I have to look it up because I can't remember. I just can't remember that. So she called me back. You have two choices, confectioner's sugar or granulated. She called me back shortly and she said, "Well, it's not confectioner's sugar." She'd already made the wrong choice. There are some things you can know. You can know that God is merciful. You can know He's gracious. He wants to help you. He's on your side. He's not against you. And His mercy is eternal, but His judgment is temporary. His anger passes away. "Know therefore the Lord thy God, He's a God, the faithful God, which keeps His covenant and mercy." His keeps mercy. In other words, He's devoted and dedicated to keep His word to be merciful. He said He was merciful, and He's going to watch over that word and be merciful. And mercy is when you're not judgmental. It's when love takes the throne of your heart and love manifests. "Which keeps covenant and mercy. With them that love Him, keep His commandments." Now, a lot of these say those that love Him, those that fear Him, those that walk with Him. But look over to Luke 18, I think it is. And this is the Pharisee and the publican who were praying, starting with verse 10. They were praying, and the Pharisee, of course, was lifting himself high of all he had done. He was a tither, and he had not done this, and he had done that. And he actually, it says he was praying with himself. I think that means God probably wasn't listening. And then here comes the publican, who had been a tax collector, verse 13, "Standing far off, would not lift up as much as eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' This man went down to his house justified." In other words, that's the man that received the mercy. The man that bowed his heart before the Father. Now, there was a family that were all sick. They lived down from the church, and that was their church, but they didn't ever go. I mean, once in a blue moon, they didn't ever go. And a pastor told this, and they showed up on a Sunday morning, and the minute the altar call was given, they ran and bowed. We used to have altar benches here at Family Worship Center. You remember that? Four of us remember that? Okay. Well, as soon as the altar call was given, they had altar benches, and they rushed this whole family to the altar and bowed their head and laid upon the altar and asked God to heal them. They were all sick. And they went home, and they were totally well and didn't ever come back to church. He said, God isn't going to heal you if you don't go to church. He did. He did. Because his mercy endureth. It's because they knew him. The church has a tendency to understand his judgment, his anger, instead of his mercy. They knew him. You see that? This helps our heart. When we're dealing with somebody, do you know them? Difficult, obnoxious people? You know the neighbor that hurt your feelings? Do they live next door to you? We don't have any neighbors, so that's why I use that example. I'm obligated to pour forth the same mercy because I'm a child of God, and it can never be that my anger is stronger than my mercy. Mercy is always stronger. Mercy has the greater strength. Graciousness, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Because his mercy, we're merciful because his life and nature is in us. Now, this is very important to the healing message. The reason God heals you is because he's merciful. Look at Mark chapter 1. God's merciful to the saint, he's merciful to the sinner. He's full of mercy. His mercy is eternal. It never deteriorates. There's never less of it. In the morning, there'll be as much mercy on Thursday morning as there was on Wednesday morning. Now, here's my soundest advice. I wouldn't be mean and ugly just because mercy's available. I don't think that'll be to your profit. You got that part? Yes. Wayne's got it right. Wayne's not usually mean and ugly. In fact, I can't remember mean and ugly lately. No, I tell you, Wayne was taken away by the government in the Vietnam conflict, and I was by myself, and I didn't like that. And it just helped me learn to draw him closer to me and cherish him more and appreciate who he is. See, he was raised on a farm, and he still thinks like a farmer. They would get up every morning before school and pick the strawberries before they went to school in elementary school. They were the hands. He has two brothers. His younger brother was too young to help. He's I too little. If you're so little you can say I too little, you're probably not too little, but we won't mention that. And they worked hard. And you have to appreciate how people think and be merciful to them. Now, Wayne had two bouts with what's called sunstroke is when you probably are going to die, and just below that was the step he was at. And he thought he had the flu, was very, very sick, and he came in and overnight he realized that he didn't have the flu. So now I'm very gracious. When Wayne's out, after a little while I truck out with the Propel, the Gatorade, or whatever is the latest, you know. I'm gracious because I see that we could have lost him to sunstroke. Because he thought farmers worked all day in the sun. But he's never been a 79-year-old farmer before. And I said, he'll be 79 this year. I said, do you remember that little round lady that worked in the field that had the big straw hat and the long sleeve shirt and the gloves up to her elbow? Do you remember her? That was his mother. Maybe she was setting an example for you. And Jesus is setting an example for you so that he was gracious to the sinner. And so you can be gracious and not irritated, upset, aggravated. So you can sow love. Sow love. Now, that's not always easy. Where did I tell you to turn? I don't even know. Huh? All right, Mark chapter 1. This is the story of the leper. Verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying, if you will, you can. Now, let me point out something to you that's very important. He didn't know if God would help him or not. So we're going to say, there's no way he's going to get healed. He doesn't have any faith. He doesn't know the will of God. That's what we would say, church people. That's wrong, because God helped him. He helped him. What he did was give him knowledge he needed to complete his faith. He said, well, I will. He said, I know you can. See, he had watched the crowd, the multitudes. He knew God's ability. He didn't know if God would help him. He didn't know if he was on the to be helped list. But see, when he had enough information, what God did, what Jesus did was say, well, I will. He gave him the information he needed in order for his faith to be complete. And he did that. It says in verse 41, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and healed him. He did that because of his compassion, because of his mercy. He took action because the love of God dominated. When love dominates you, you are merciful. You cannot be dominated by love and be unkind. Do you see that? Now, we wouldn't have said you could help him. You can't help him. He doesn't know if you will, if God is willing or not. He doesn't know the will of God. He doesn't know the will of God. He can't be helped. He was. Why? Because God's mercy. Y'all are staring at me. Because his mercy endureth forever. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to read your Bible every day. It doesn't mean you want to make confessions of faith. It doesn't mean you want to guard your words. But those things do not earn your healing. You're not healed because you read your Bible through, and you're not healed because you attended every service, and you're not healed because you can quote the healing scripture, and you're not healed because you never say anything negative, and you're not healed because you're never ugly. Even people that don't need any healing, that's the way they function. They're never ugly. They don't need any healing. So that isn't what brought the healing. Your perfect attendance didn't bring healing. But perfect attendance is because we love him. Now, when Wayne was in the military, see, God is good. God is so good. They assigned him to radio operator school, and I guess you know where radio operators went, straight to Vietnam. And he mailed me the letter. He didn't have the nerve to call me on the phone. And he mailed me the letter, but he didn't put a stamp on it, so I didn't get it. So he called me to tell me to disregard the letter that they had decided, since he was an artist. They happened to have an art illustrator's post open. Just happened to have it. They had an art illustrator that completed his tour of duty, was going home. Would you like that? That's because Wayne was there over Christmas. They just happened to build a new building, and they thought they should have a picture on the wall. They wanted to know, would he paint a picture on the wall for them, which he agreed. You see what mercy does? Do you see what mercy does? Do you see what mercy does? He was at Fort Benning, Georgia, his entire tour of duty. And as soon as he found out he wasn't going anywhere, he hopped in his car and came and got me. That's how that worked. Oh, because God is... See, God's a God with answers. God's a God with solutions. He didn't solve that because I read my Bible through, and he didn't solve that because I can quote the books of the Bible. He solved it because he loved me, and love is always merciful. And he saw that without Wayne Cumbie, I don't do well. Even today. And his mercy endureth forever for the Lord. Okay. Now look at Matthew 14. The motivation for all Jesus did was the Father's love and mercy. He said, my meat is do the will of him that sent me. That's in Luke. Chapter 4. Meat is what you eat, is what gives you strength. And he said, what gives me strength is doing the Father's will, is completing what the Father wanted me to do. That strengthens me. That gives me strength. And when you do the will of God, you walk in love. And when you walk in love, you're always gracious. Looking for an opportunity to help people, you're always merciful. 14:14, Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them and healed the sick. Why did he heal the leper? Because he was compassionate. Why did he heal? This is a multitude. Multitudes are measured in acres. That's a lot of people. I mean, if you put all those people, we have 5 acres, and put 5 acres of people, that is a lot of people. Why did he do that? Because his mercy endureth forever for the Lord. He is good. He did it because he's merciful. Now look at Matthew 20. He healed the sick because he was merciful. He didn't heal them because they qualified. Said, well, don't you have to? Let me explain it to you again. You're supposed to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's to your advantage. You're supposed to read your Bible through. That's to your advantage. You're supposed to memorize the scripture that helps your heart and quote it often. That's to your advantage. And if you don't do those things, it's like going to war without a rifle. They don't send soldiers to war without. And you know where Wayne Cumbie was the day they trained the men in the rifles? He was in the new building painting the picture on the wall. And when they came in because the weather was cold, they were frozen in their clothes, and he undressed them all. Because God's mercy endureth. God is gracious. He said, I'm watching. What can I do? What can I do? Now, he can't help you if you won't be helped. I mean, we know those people. That's not us, right? Chapter 20, these are the blind men. I'll tell you something. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. That's verse 30. They heard that Jesus passed by and cried, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. They cried the more, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. When they called him Son of David, they knew who he was. He was the heir to David's throne, the Messiah. They said, have mercy. Now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 different stories where the people cried out for mercy. You don't cry out for mercy unless you know somebody's merciful. They had to have seen his mercy on display. You know, if you were mean and ugly and unkind, I wouldn't say, oh, please have mercy. I just know there's no hope for me with you. I'm going somewhere else. Get somebody else to help me because you're not nice. None of y'all fit that category. Okay. They had seen he was merciful. And they said, have mercy. And the people said, just be quiet. And God called them. And he said, now they're blind. Now this is important. They said, what can I do for you? I'll tell you why I did that. Wayne's Aunt Hula called. She's with the Lord now. Been gone a long, long time. But she called, and Kenneth Hagin was in Winter Haven, and she wanted to go. And she said, would you take me? We were going anyway, but we would have taken her. And she was facing serious heart surgery. And that's why she wanted to go. So she was almost, she was so hard of hearing as to be classified as deaf. And so I told the usher that she wouldn't be able to hear unless she was where there was a good sound. And he said, okay, I can find one seat. Can she sit alone by herself? She was elderly. I said, yes. And I said, Aunt Eula, he set her under the speaker. 'Cause God's mercy endureth. Are you seeing God is merciful? He set her under the speaker. And I said, now, you don't move when they dismiss. You don't hunt us. We will find you. You'll be right here in this seat where this man put you. Okay, that went fine. And Thanksgiving came after that, and she called the house. She said, I can't stand it. They're so loud. And I said, your family, you love them, don't you? You love them. Your daughter's there? And the children, the grandchildren, they're all there? Yeah, but I can't stand it. It hurts my ears. It's so loud. It's so loud. And I didn't figure that out. And I said, well, you usually take an afternoon nap. Tell your daughter you need your nap, and you're going to go to your room and rest, and then you close the door and be very quiet in there, and you'll have some time without it being loud. And then it dawned on me. The Lord didn't heal her heart. He healed her ears. Yeah. And people that don't hear have to get used to hearing. I just tell you that. They're used to living in the dark and not hearing anything. Well, she had her heart surgery, and she told me. My friend told me, please do not listen to your unspiritual friends. You got that? Write that on your note in big letters. Her friend told her for 3 days after your heart surgery, you'll be crazy as a bedbug. You'll just be absolutely crazy. And so the hospital, after they did the surgery, called the family, called her daughter and said, we're going to have somebody come sit with her. She was crazy. She just went crazy. You know when she recovered? After 3 days. She was perfectly fine. She believed her friend rather than believing the word. She didn't know the word on healing. They didn't teach that at her church. Now he said, what can I do for you? Because it may be they had an ingrown toenail they wanted some help with rather than their eyes. People do get used to their dilemma. There wasn't any reason for him to ask them. The other reason was, gave them a chance to confess their faith. Gave them a chance to state their faith in healing. And so it says he had compassion on them. He had compassion. Now look at Mark 5. I want you to see that the unending compassion of God that's not flexible, that's always eternal, that's in abundant supply every single day, that's for everybody that needs it, was the reason and the motivation for Jesus to come to rescue, and it was the reason he healed the sick, and it's the reason he heals today, because I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. He's still working on the mercy system. So does that mean I don't have to read my Bible? Are you crazy? That doesn't say I love you. Wayne said, didn't you get my letter? I said, no, what letter? The one without the stamp. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. It said, I'm not going to radio operator school. Well, I didn't know he was going, so I'm not worried. See, when God's mercy, when his mercy is at work, you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing to worry about. Now, I'm not telling you to quit reading your Bible, because if you do that, you've made a mistake. And I'm not telling you to drop your confession, because you'll make a mistake if you do that. But I'm telling you, don't depend on what you can do, but depend on his mercy and what he watches over you to do. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. In Mark chapter 5 is the story of the demoniac. And we could teach that sometime. We haven't, but we could. And after he was healed, what you need to know, it says his name was Legion because there were many of them, but there is never many in charge. There's one in charge. And if you read this carefully, it says, Jesus said to him. It doesn't say Jesus said to them, because them weren't in charge. Him, there's one in charge, one demon in charge, who opens the door of your mind and heart if you'll let him, and lets all the others in. And it says several times, he said to him, and he said, what is your name? Okay. Then he casts the devil out. And then the fellow, it says in verse 17, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, you can go home and read it. They began to pray Jesus to depart out of their coast. It so frightened to them, the power they saw on display, that they want Jesus to go away. And when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be, he said, let me go with you. That's in verse 18, let me go with you. Now here's Jesus' response. Jesus suffered him not. He said, no, you can't go with me. You cannot go with me. See, we would think it would be a good training. He needs to travel with him. It could be a good training session for him. He hasn't been a Christian, but, I mean, a believer, but 5 minutes, 30 minutes. You'd think he needs to go. And Jesus said, no, you can't go. And he said, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Go home and talk about the Lord's compassion. Go home and tell all your friends and neighbors how compassionate, how merciful, how gracious God was to you. And the next time Jesus came to this very location, city after city after city turned out in mass to see him. You know how that happened? The 5-minute evangelist kept talking about compassion And they decided when he comes back, we need to see that for ourselves. And they came. He was only a 5-minute evangelist. But he brought in not a city, but he brought in cities at the feet of Jesus. He said, just go. And what did Jesus assign him? Well, he couldn't tell him, but he probably didn't know much scripture, know the Old Testament law. That's what they had. He said, go tell them about my compassion. In other words, go tell your story. Is that amazing? Now, there are many others. I want you to see that the foundation of God's work is his mercy. And he's merciful. He's never less merciful. Mercy is eternal. It's the same every single day. And God will heal you because he's merciful. Because he's merciful. And I'm going to read my Bible because I love him. And I know he's merciful. And I'm going to quote the scripture. And I'm going to walk in love because I know him. And I know who he is. And I know how he functions. And because I appreciate. But not if I read my Bible through, he'll be merciful. Because the old leper didn't even know if he would help him or not. He said, I know you could, but I don't know if you would or not. Did you get that? There was a lady, Jesus, going into the city, and the lady, I think it's in Luke somewhere, 17, her son had died, so she was a widow, and that was her only son. And Jesus saw how bereaved they were. And he said, because of his compassion, he raised him from the dead. And when he touched the coffin, they said, rise. And he got right up. And he said, because of his compassion, the work of God is done in compassion. You're healed because he's merciful, because he's compassionate. And I'm not trying to discourage you from reading your Bible. Said, I'll just depend on his mercy. You just depend on his mercy and don't read your Bible and don't bow at his knee in love and see how far you get. Because your heart won't draw as close to him. See, Wayne and I have been dating 3 years and my heart had drawn close to him. We'll be married 57 years shortly in May. And my heart had drawn close to him. Now, when we cleaned out Mama's house, the letters, Daddy was in the Philippines, World War II, and the letters that they had written one another were in the attic. It's amazing. I didn't read them. Suzanne has them. I turned everything over to Suzanne that she would take. And and she brought me a page, just one page. She said, just read this one page, Mother. And you could see their hearts had drawn close to one another. Seeing as I draw close to God, if he never healed me, I'm going to bow at his feet. But he already told me that I was healed and that he would have mercy upon me. You got all that?
Yes.
The foundation of the ministry of Jesus is not works. It's mercy. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You cannot qualify for healing. But you can receive it in mercy when you draw close. You see that?